welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Paul Tooley and Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome to Education Currents. We're glad you could be with us today, and I guess we'll make it official today. Dr. Tooley here is now going to be the co-host of Education Currents, and welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, today I was browsing through the internet and just kind of tooling around looking for stories on education, and I came across a rather interesting story in Massachusetts, as in with most schools. In this little school in Massachusetts, well, it's actually a public high school, they have honors night. But the principal decided that he was going to cancel honors night because he said it would be, quote, devastating to the students who worked hard but fell short of grades, unquote. Now, I want to just get your reaction to this, and then we'll get into the idea of awards and honors and what place they really play in education. Is this a correct stance for this principal to take, or is he in his desire to not hurt the feelings of students who fell short, hurting the feelings of the students who worked really hard and excelled and actually made the grade?
That's an interesting question. There's a couple of thoughts that come to mind. First, have you ever noticed a game of baseball or basketball or some sporting event that is like a pickup game, and you have people there and they line up and they say, all right, we have two captains, now let's pick sides. And always at the end of picking sides, there's the one lone person standing there who gets picked last.
Yeah.
Then you have, on the other hand, the little children who go home with stars in their eyes because, look, Mommy, what I got. And it is an award.
Yes. That's what our show is going to be about today, is the place of awards in school, if there's any. Now, let me give you a dream I've always had. I've always had a dream of an awardless school or a school that we're, and I'm talking about really radical, not even having report cards in this school. But instead, we invite students to come that really want to learn. And therefore, the whole idea is that they don't need to be rewarded with a letter grade, whatever else award you can come up with, because they're coming to learn. Now, I've got this idea because if you go to the mall, there's a place there, it's a Music Hut. So if you go to Music Hut and you say, okay, I want to learn to play the guitar. Well, when you go in there, there's probably dozens of other students that come at different times than you in some group lessons, but none of them get grades. They pay their money because they want to learn to play the guitar, and that's their purpose. And there is no sense in grading them since playing the guitar is the ultimate goal. So if learning were my ultimate goal, if students came because they wanted to learn, then what would there be any need for awards?
Well, that does pose several different paths we can take in this discussion, because, first of all, if I were to look into the future, I would say first, at the elementary school level, awards don't have that much significance to them in terms of the future of that child. But when that child reaches high school, those awards become significant when they begin to look at colleges that they are going to attend. And when they go to college, awards become significant in the quality of job that they are going to be able to get.
Are you suggesting that this principal may have stripped some worthy student of a scholarship somewhere because they didn't have the awards, they weren't given the awards on this night?
It's possible that it could impact. Now, it depends. If it was a middle school, not as much. But in a high school, it could be significant.
Well, this was a high school.
Okay. So when you get into a high school, it depends on what the awards were for. For instance, in college admissions, they're looking for people who show leadership, academic high levels of academic performance, and good sports. These are what colleges begin to look at, and music. So if they, if they're in those categories, that's what colleges begin to look at for, do we, one, admit the student because the student shows a certain quality that matches what the colleges want, or a certain standard of academics or performance in leadership or in sports or in music that the school is looking for. Because, see, the school also has to promote itself and also has to replicate what it wants of itself in the future. So it's looking for students that meet certain criteria within that school. And those students that meet those certain criteria have the opportunity to have scholarships.
Okay, now I want to bounce a little bit more on this, following this track. I want to kind of dig down deeper. I know as an elementary school teacher for many years that that awards could be destructive, and you know, in some kids that really did try, that just like if you run a race, some people, even if they run their hardest, they're not going to win, and other people could half lope along and win because they're built in such a way. But then, of course, there's always these substrata. There's ones that could win and don't, that don't put effort. So there's a whole, you know, that's a whole different ball game. But as you were saying, it really doesn't have the consequences in grade school that it can in high school. Now, we have two broad diverging thoughts in this country. One thought is of a liberal persuasion, which says everybody must be taken care of and everything must be fair. And then there's one of the conservative, which says the opportunity should be equal. But what you do with those opportunities, what you can achieve, should be rewarded. We should reward achievers. Now, when we're looking at a college, colleges kind of play both sides of the fence. I mean, they to a certain degree, want to take people who they feel haven't had an even chance and put them up in their, you know, in their program. And they also then want these achievers to come in so that on the other side, people can say, wow, Yale, man, you got to go there. So successful, or Harvard. Of course, the fact is these colleges are, to a large part, are successful because of their intake process. So, you know, if I wanted to start a totally successful grade school, I could have an admissions, and they have to go through it, and I could, you know, cherry pick only the best students from the neighborhood, and I'd have a beautiful, fantastically wonderful looking grade school. But these colleges have that opportunity to do that. So now they're doing it based on these awards. So when we look at this, going back to this principle, he's looking at it from the liberal point of view that we can't punish certain people because they were academically challenged compared to others, and they may have put in as much effort, but because of that, no matter what they did, they really couldn't get that award. And then on the other hand, the conservative side, and what you're saying, may mean that then we are taking away the opportunity of certain students to be recognized for their achievements and to be selected by good schools to continue developing their specific skill set.
Yes, I think that we can look now maybe at two different types of rewards or awards. An excellent book to read is one that is written by Alfie Cohen called Punished by Rewards. And in that book, his premise is that the reward as a tool to motivate behavior ends up redirecting a person's desired outcome from learning to the reward.
Okay, we're talking about behaviorism here. In other words,
right,
the reward or award is specifically designed to shape behavior, whereas we could also have an award that is just acknowledging something that somebody achieved.
Yeah. Now, for instance, and I know this in dog training or in animal training, there's a lot of things that go with giving the animal a treat every time they behave. But if you go through canine training, you'll find that in an awful lot of the canine training, those dogs are not given rewards, not given physical rewards for performing. Because once an animal sees the reward, that's what they're targeting. They want that reward as opposed to performing because they're being asked to perform. And the same thing holds true with children and all the way up as in the learning process. In Alfie Cohen's book, he gives example after example where students are brought in to perform certain tests, and what they would do is they would randomly select two groups of students, so they were scientifically accurate. They didn't base it on any academic ability or anything else. It was just a random selection. So now he had two groups of students randomly selected. Both groups of students were asked to perform the same function, and they were asked to perform it multiple times. And one group of students was given a reward for their performance, for getting it done faster and more accurate. They were being rewarded for the accuracy of what they were doing and getting it done faster. What they found over time is that by the time they came to the end of the study, those students who had not been rewarded for anything learned what they were doing better, and it stuck with them longer than the students who were rewarded for performing. And in the end, they were pretty close to the same time, speed, and the same accuracy. As a matter of fact, those who were not rewarded in the end were more accurate than those who were rewarded.
That's rather interesting. That kind of dovetails with a study that was done in the workplace, in which they looked at people who tried to achieve to gain a higher salary versus people who tried to achieve because they were either driven to or they had a passion for what they were doing. And it's funny, in the end, when you looked at all the CEOs and these were the people that were not trying to achieve a higher salary. That was not their main goal. Their main goal was an internal driving or internal driven to perform, to do well, to take pride in what they did, to accomplish, have accomplishments and to solve problems. They were big problem solvers. They liked that. I mean, they enjoyed that kind of thing. And they were the ones that ended up with the big salaries, whereas the ones that were trying, well, you know, I want to get a master's degree because it gives me X amount of dollars more. And I'm not, by the way, discouraging anybody from getting a master's degree. I think that's good. But if the focus was, it gives me X amount more, and if I work these extra hours, I get X amount more, they never went into the CEO positions because they tended to have short headlights. They were looking at the short end reward, or the reward, the specific reward. Whereas the ones that made it to CEO positions and up tended to internalize, have an internal structure that was more about pride in themselves and what they could do and in the creative process of what they were doing.
Well, let's take a look at the two different directions that an awards such as that could. So you have this award experience once a year. And generally in high school, those awards have more or greater importance as the number of years go by. So by the time you're a senior, those awards can be pretty significant as to your future. What do those awards really reflect? Do they reflect just natural ability, or do they reflect as much the effort that went into achieving that standard and above that would put you in a position for that award? So, in other words, would you be able to say that the students who achieved awards, who achieved these awards, got those awards because that's what they were seeking? Or did those students achieve those awards simply because what they were doing was important enough for them to put in the time and the effort, coupled with their natural ability?
I think you have both. I think you have both cases. But I think if you did a longitudinal study on these people, you'd find the ones that almost got the award incidentally to what they were doing go on to greater success than those that focused on the award and worked hard to get just that. Because, you know, you could work all 4 years of high school to try to be valedictorian and work really hard, and you might achieve that, and you're like, I achieved that. Great. Whereas the person who incidentally achieves it because they are engaged, they're an engaged learner, and they love learning, and they love working academically, are going to continue to do that even after high school. I mean, they're going to continue to on being that kind of a person. So going back to awards in general, and I think we've hit on a note here that we can bring down to everyone that's with us today to apply to their own home, whether you're a parent or you're a teacher. I think this application is really important, and that is, awards that are used to shape behavior should most of the time be used very sparingly and only used sort of like hydrocortisone for an itch. You know, you only use it to begin to solve the problem, but you need to move past that kind of thing. Awards that are acknowledging an accomplishment, they need to be, you know, they need to be given. They need, people who've made a true accomplishment need to have that acknowledged. Grade school may be, again, a bit young for that, but applying it to the home or applying it to high school, where you can say to a person, look, you've spent 4 years in this high school and you have scored the highest scores in the entire student body. That's something to be awarded. It's something not to be ignored, for sure, and especially if it's going to impact the person's, you know, furtherance of their careers or their lives. And I think sometimes we go too far on the liberal side of things where we say, oh, we can't hurt anybody's feelings. But what I think people who are of that belief, what they fail to see is that you can't help but hurt somebody's feelings. If you say we're not going to give any awards, then those people that worked really hard, that made these great accomplishments, are going to feel ignored, are going to feel bad too. And then maybe some will not, but some might. So if you say, well, now we'll award those people, then the people that didn't get any might feel bad also. However, I know I never won valedictorian or summa cum laude, but I didn't feel bad about it.
But there were times in something that you were doing, I know you had to experience it, and so have I, where you really worked and worked and worked at something, and you really worked at it, and somebody you had respect for came up and said, that's a really good job you're doing there.
Oh, yeah, that felt good.
It felt good. It affirmed you. It affirmed what you were doing.
But that's because it felt genuine. I've also had the opposite, you know, where the teacher was walking around the classroom and we were scribbling whatever nonsense on a page, and, oh, that's great. That's really, they were saying it to everybody, and it meant nothing. I mean, there are definitely awards that I got in my school career that I just tossed in the back of my closet and did nothing with them. And there's other ones that I set up on the dresser. And the difference that was what spoke to me is being genuine, is somebody really genuine. And I would say, too, even more than a plaque or an award, somebody just coming up and saying, man, that is a great job. And I, you know, they really mean it.
Now, when you start thinking about rewards and awards, there are some differences there. And taking it down into the home, we recognize where a child starts, and they start in a do this, get that scenario. If you don't be quiet, I'm going to put you in timeout. So we start out with that. And then as they move through that, they get to the point where they come to you and say, if I do this, will you give me that? So we move into a contractual type relationship. Parents need to continue to push through that. And it's hard because most people in the world stop in that contractual relationship.
Yeah,
they don't move beyond
that. It's true even in relationships.
Yes. And so, and that's why in religion, there's so many issues in religion that people have, because people are continually trying to create this contract with God, even if they don't think so. They consider reciprocal arrangements, you know. I'm good, and I did good, and therefore God's going to bless me. I walked the narrow way, I didn't do that, and I didn't do the next thing, therefore God's going to bless me. And you did it, and therefore God's going to get you. So we have kind of a reciprocal thinking going on there. Moving children beyond that to the point where they do what they should do because they know it's right. That's the trick. And how do we get there?
You know, first of all, I think that going back again to the affirming, like an affirming parent. Now, there can be two ways to look at an affirming parent. An affirming parent who does it artificially. It's like, you know, the person who reads the Spock baby book and then tries to, okay, let's say this baby's, they're throwing up. Quick, what does it say on page 567? You know, what am I supposed to do? And they're trying to go by the manual. Versus the parents who've moved beyond that to the fact that when they affirm their child, they are doing it genuinely. They see something that they really do like. And there's a flip side to this. And this is often ignored. And that is, there's a time in which there is a time and place for shame. I know that is really not PC this day and age. It should never be artificial shame either, and it shouldn't be ever come from anger. But there should be a time when you know, that son or daughter, that was disappointing to me. I expected, because that makes it genuine. People have these. Even the kids are disappointed in their parents, or they're thrilled with their parents. So we have that give and take. So there needs to be that genuineness. I think a lot of parents in sticking carrot situations don't realize it can't be artificial. This has to come be genuine, and it should never be based on the emotion of the moment. If you have an emotion of the moment, let that pass before you do, you know, you do your thing. The quiet, that's really good, son. And the quiet, like, oh, that was disappointing. I expected this, and I'm really sad that you did that. But staying calm, never do it in anger.
But when you get to that point, if parents want to help their children, let's put this caveat in front of that. There's never a guarantee that your child is going to turn out exactly the way you want them to. Never, no matter what you do with them. But throughout a child's life, from the time they're young, the long-term goal of the parent should be to move that child to a point where at or around the age 16, that child has the capacity to make decisions and be given the freedom to make decisions and start moving them towards a point when they turn 18, hey, those guys can vote now. Those guys may be leaving the house. They may be going to college somewhere.
That's my nightmare.
And when you get to that point, being able to know that your child is going to make the right decision. Now, they're not going to make it all the time the right decision, because no one does. But they can make the right decision.
As Kurt Vonnegut Jr. once said, his nightmare was waking up and finding out that all his high school classmates are running the country. Well, you know, and one last word, too, I would say is, to start off with, both administrators and parents, when it comes to rewards and awards, cut out about 75%, maybe even 80% of them. Cut out the dross and find the genuine things. Every kid knows in the back of their head that when they're given the award for most improved, it means that, well, you know, the teacher sat around and said, what can we give an award to this kid for? They know it. Just like when you were in reading groups when you were a kid, you knew which groups were the advanced ones. It didn't matter whether you were called a bluebird or a stinkworm. You knew.
Yeah, pretty well, you knew that if you were in a stinkworm, that wasn't.
Well, even if they decided they would name the best group stinkworm and then the other one the bluebird, you still knew. You knew what was what. And so it's the same thing. You can't really pull the wool over kids' eyes very long, much past kindergarten or so, with these fake awards. They should be genuine, and, you know, really in grade school, really cut them down to almost, you know, as little as possible.
It means so much more to a child to have their teacher and their parent say, I love you, and I really like what you did.
Yeah.
That means more than any piece of paper they can get.
That's true. Well, we're going to have to leave it with that, and we're glad you could be with us today. And make sure that you visit our website at www.educationcurrents.com. That's www.educationcurrents.com. And until next week, God bless.